107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Ozzy Adelaide!
The Podscast.
Dickens, a boy! March turns, runs, and he kicks it!
And welcome to round four of the Podscast. The Podscast. Let me say that again. Let that soak in. We all know the star of this show is the main man, JJ, but it was named after a certain Geelong recruit, now defensive line coach, who is an absentee. And instead, we've got the rat Rory Atkins stepping in. Now, Rory, I'm going to ask you, where is he? What's going on?
Unsure how it can be called the Podscast with Pods not present at the moment. But no, I think he was double booked this today. I think he had his annual haircut lined up. So, yeah, he couldn't make it.
Where's he sort of go down to get that cranium sorted out?
I think he just goes down to the local bowling alley and gets it polished in the bowling machine there.
All right, well, JJ, we're going to have to lean heavily on you this week, mate. I'm going to need your experience as an elite operator here on the Podscast. Let's just talk about this man that's stepping into the hot seat here, Rory Atkins. Obviously, this season, mate, as a fan, we're knowing a lot more about you, been playing some fantastic football. But JJ, why don't you introduce to all of the fans who listen to this, who is this man that sits here?
Yes, inspired selection, as you can see. He's come with the gags nice and early, so that's a taste of what we can... Pods may never get the roll back. That's my early tip. But no, Rory's credit to himself. He's playing some really quality football, established himself in the best 22 last year and looks to have only a few games in. We don't want to blow his tyres up too much, but he's playing really quality football out in the wing and on the ball a little bit. So
For those who don't know much about you, mate, where'd you grow up and how's your journey to the Crows been?
Yeah, so I grew up in Essendon, back in Melbourne, and played my local football for the Maribyrnong Park Lions in the Essendon District Football League, and came through the TAC Cup playing for the Calder Cannons, and that led you playing for Vic Metro, and then happened to get drafted at the end of 2012. So,
what were the thoughts when you had Adelaide Crows read out your name?
Feelings. I was stoked. I mean, I got drafted at pick 81 in the 2012 draft, so it was a pretty nervous household.
So we really wanted him.
Yeah, so it took a while. It took a while. There were a few picks, but thanks for that, Josh. But nervous household. I was sweating bullets and, just happy for my name to be called out wherever it was and thankfully Adelaide.
Always tough to move to a new city as a young man, but... I mean, it's made a hell of a lot easier when a sort of big man takes you under the wing, a sort of well-established fellow Essendonian, played some football for Essendon, did JJ over here, and you lived together for a while.
Yeah, that's right. Josh was kind enough to take me in. I'd already been in Adelaide for 2 years. It probably took him that long to talk to me at the club, but after that, we became close mates, and he was kind enough to open up his door and have me in there for 2 years.
Actually, I think this is true, Rory, correct me if it's not, but ask me and Hannah, my girlfriend, who has minimal say in decisions, but he asked if he could move in for a pre-season, which is about 3 months, and I think, what did you stay for, 2 and a bit years?
Yeah, so what happened was I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was interstate, and plan was that she was going to move over, and that went south, so it kind of got to the stage where...
Had nowhere to go,
so Josh
needed
took me
the warm
in.
Touch of yeah. a big
Janko. So he was kind enough to let me in, and it went well. So I planned to stay 12 months, and 12 months turned into 24, and here we are.
Well, before we get into talking about the showdown win, which is absolutely fantastic, obviously we're all up and about that, and the game coming this weekend against Essendon, I just want to know a little bit, because I know a lot of fans would be interested in this. I was talking before we started with JJ about players who live with each other. You always think that, you know, people earn in decent coin, they'd be living alone. But at the same time, it must be very fun when you're a young man and you just live with teammates. Who lives with each other now?
Well, moving out of Josh's, I moved in with another younger teammate, Harrison Wiggs. So that's good. He's 20 years old now. I'm 22. So it's a nice, fun household as opposed to living with Josh. Now there's a lot more. No. There's a lot more PlayStation that goes on as opposed to talking about what's going on with footy and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a bit more gaming that goes on there. But with saying that, I have to do a lot more of the household duty. So that was a good thing, that living with Josh took the kind of father figure / older brother figure of the house. But moving up, that held me in good stead to now be living with another younger teammate.
Are there lots of the players living with each other, JJ?
Oh, there'd be a few. I think there's a household of four. McGovern, Harry Deer, Riley O'Brien and Dean Gore all live together in Henley Beach, I think. So That'll be a bit much for me, I reckon.
Look, I was going to get into the game again, but something else has distracted me. He said playing video games, and video games is top of my mind right now because sitting before me are two men rated equal. Rory Atkins, 77, according to the AFL Evolution game on the PlayStation and Xbox. Josh Jenkins, a 77, and filthy about it.
That is right. I was pretty pumped to see the ratings come out because I am a fan of video games, whether it be basketball, NFL, AFL. So I had a look at the ratings, and I went down, scrolled through our team today to have a look at where I was situated in the group. And one, Josh Jenkins, was on the same ratings as someone who had played 35 games. So I knew JJ would be filthy about that. And thought I'd bring that up.
I guess the good thing is everyone here understands how ridiculous that is. Yes. That we are ranked the same.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, I can just tell by the way we're all talking about it. So
yeah, I was pretty pumped about
it. I am not a video gamer, so I'm playing up the fact that I all care. Right.
Guys, I might play a bit of a game with you here. I'm going to read you some players. You can say overs or unders.
Yep.
Okay. First of all, Charlie Cameron, and keep in mind you guys are both 77. 76. Now, Brody Smith has brought it to my attention that he doesn't think that you're worth the point more than Charlie there, Rory.
Nah, that's false. Definitely worth at least 3 points. I reckon they got that one wrong.
All right. Okay. We'll go to Eddie Betson, 87, over or under?
Probably slightly under.
I think
position, if you're going to judge per position, he's the best small forward in the game. He could be a 90.
Matt Crouch, 75.
Too short.
Under. Well under.
Richie Douglas, 82.
Too high.
Dougie.
Sorry, Dougie.
Lives over the back fence, Dougie, yeah. And unfortunately that's an over.
They're a bit kind there, Dougie.
Kirtley Hampton, 75. I'm saying fair.
Yeah, that's fair. On the way up, hopefully. Hopefully he rolls into the 80s this time next year.
Progressive Source. Ratings.
81.
I reckon that's unders. Again, same...
Positionally?
Yeah, same method as Eddie. I reckon per position, he's should be a bit higher than that.
Now, you won't like this one. There's a man who also plays up forward, and we know, JJ, you got the big deal. And a real big...
Here we go.
Really big sort of operator, nationally famous you are, JJ. I mean, I've been over in Melbourne. Everyone talks about, when's Jenkins back? Tommy Lynch coming in at an 80, just the 3 points higher than you.
To be honest, I'm just glad... I wouldn't care if I was 59 as long as he's 60 because the amount of effort and sweat and blood, tears, everything that he puts into stats and numbers and figures and what his are, I'm just happy he's above me because it wouldn't be worth hearing about it if he wasn't. His number one focus is to score 100 fantasy points.
Is that it?
On a Saturday. So I'm just glad that Lynchy's scored higher than me because he has already contacted me this morning about it. I wasn't even aware of AFL Evolution. Apart from standing there for the silly photos so that we look like the players in the video game. But I'm glad Lynchy got us. I know he's not happy about the overall figure, but the fact it's higher than me is something.
We'll move on to our top-rated player. Now, Rory Sloane, 87. Tex, 88. Would you flip them?
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, I would have thought Sloane's up in the 90s.
Yeah, I thought Sloane would have been at least top 10. He's ranked about 20th in the comp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking about him as a... Would you put him in the top 10 players in the league at the moment?
Yes.
Yeah, comfortably, I think. Probably top five, you would think.
He was outstanding in the showdown. Let's talk about that. JJ, you didn't play. You're watching on as a fan. How was it watching on the sidelines?
It was good. I was in the stats box, which sits right alongside the coach's box and nice big window there so you can hear everything that goes on. Really, it's actually very calm in the coach's box. I was really surprised at how smoothly everything went. I guess... To me, it felt like we had the game under control, or at least we weren't at any stage. I didn't feel like we were going to lose the game. Certainly,
does Paul yell?
I should have expected that, knowing him for a couple of years now. But it was remarkably quiet. There probably wasn't one spray given to any player. Wasn't even any venting or anything like that. So, and you see some of the emotions of some coaches. It's probably a credit to the way that they operate, and everything ran really smoothly. And we come away with a pretty comprehensive win in a hot game.
How did you find it out there, Rory?
Yeah, well, it was a pretty intense game. I mean, this whole city gets up for it, and I think as much as you don't want to say it, the players find another gear. It was a very contested game, and we were just happy to come away with the chocolates at the end.
And are the old foe the real deal, do you reckon? Port Adelaide beating them was obviously, I mean, they've had a great start to the season. Do they feel like they might be around the eight?
I'm not sure yet. They've beaten Sydney, who are who have winless, And they've beaten Fremantle, who most people think are going to struggle. So I guess the jury's still out.
All right.
It's not giving them credit if they don't deserve it.
Well, let's talk about the jury.
Let's keep it real, Amos.
Well, the jury wouldn't know what to say about Essendon, would they?
No. This is a side we were talking earlier. I really like Essendon. I probably have some sort of bias because I spent 12 months there. But I see a lot of us in them. I think their young players are similar to our young guys, like Ratt, Malera, Hampton, those sort of guys. I think they've got some really quality, young, speedy outside players. So I truly think, and I think everyone should, this is going to be perhaps game of the round again, because I think they'll be smarting a little bit off that loss to Carlton.
And that
wasn't
wet. Even footy, though, was it? That was so wet, that was a different game.
Yeah, so I think they've got an ability. If we don't bring our best, they've got an ability to play a really high-scoring, attractive game of footy. So worst case, I think it's going to be a really exciting game.
Who do we see you out there with, Rory? Do you look at who you'll be playing on?
Well, I think guys that roll through their midfield, I mean, they have a very good midfield, but guys that I'll probably see maybe Heppel, Collier.
Brent Stanton, my old mate.
Goddard, Stanton.
He's a very good endurance runner, Rory, so I'd get your skates on.
Yeah, well, usually with us, I kind of shake hands with him and say, see you at the end of the game, mate. So I think that may happen.
I used to actually run against Trav Collier back in the day.
How'd that
WA
go for you, out of interest? Mate,
did you keep up?
He's I beat him in the one, he beat me in the two.
There you go.
And Kane Lucas actually beat us all.
Sugar?
Although Kane Lucas no longer.
Sugar Lucas.
Yeah,
Sugar Kane, sorry.
Sugar Kane.
Yeah, nice.
That one makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Old Sugar Lucas.
I don't know him that well.
Good
so
old Sugar Lucas, huh?
Old Sugar Lucas. Love it. Love some Sugar Lucas in my team. No, because there's a guy playing out there against you called Job Watson, and there's another guy called Michael Hurley. And you've got a couple of stories to share with the fans about these two gentlemen.
Yeah, quite interesting. A lot was made of Job's hiatus, I guess. He took off from Australia and he was a barista and he was doing all kinds of things in New York City. And Hannah and I were walking down, I think we're walking to down Broadway actually, and we bumped into a man that looked very much like Job Watson, was in fact Job Watson, and it was great to see him and have a bit of a chat with him. Now I can hit the barista story on the head. He did a few days making coffees. He had a girlfriend over there. So he wasn't
exactly leading the line.
No, he wasn't going to give up footy to make coffees for a living. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he had a girlfriend over in the States, so it was great to bump into him. He clearly was loving life over there. I think he genuinely...
How long did you talk for?
15 or 20 minutes.
How long would you... If you bumped into him in Melbourne, how long would you talk for?
Oh, we probably wouldn't stop. We'd keep walking.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about being overseas, isn't it?
We share a birthday, Job and I, so that's about as close as we got at the Bombers. He's a good fella. He's a really smart guy, and it's great. I am really happy to... As I've said a few times, more so than most others, because of the fact I spent some time there, I'm really happy to see almost all of those guys back playing. And no one more so than Mick Hurley, who I may well have lined up on this weekend, but unfortunately I couldn't get out there again. He came over and stayed a couple of times at my place, really had a crack at getting him across to the Crows. Hence why he grew that beard and that long hair. We thought he'd fit in if he had that when he lived over in Adelaide, but the Bombers just offered him too much cash.
When you actually do have a friend like that who comes over, who is a wanted player, how seriously can you actually say to them, look, this is what I want you to do. Here's the case. Please come and join us. Do you ever just say, look, mate, I can't talk about it. I want to go back to Essendon. Or you have a proper forthright discussion about it?
No, we had fair dinkum conversations about it, just the same way as he spoke to me the year previous about what I was going to do. So you can go in depth. That's what your friends are for. You've got to bounce ideas and your thoughts off them. But I think knowing the remarkable thing about those guys, particularly him, is how loyal they are to the Bombers. And I never thought he was going to leave, but he did certainly come over and indulge in Adelaide, what Adelaide had to offer.
He did
back-to-back trips to the Woolshed one weekend.
So he enjoyed the bull at the Woolshed.
The bull, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Rory and I actually, and Hurls all share a manager, Mel, who's a superstar, but she was the ringleader. I think she saw daylight both mornings. So it was a big weekend for Hurls, and maybe it got the better of him and he didn't want to come back.
Well, what about you, Rat? Who would you... I mean, obviously, when you play TAC Cup, you become friends with a lot of guys who go on the AFL. Is there anyone that you'd love to get over here who you're good friends with?
Well, I'm actually playing one of my good friends this weekend in Joe Danaher. Played a lot of my junior football with him. So, it's always fun seeing old teammates and close mates out in the field. But... This year, I unsure of any of my close mates.
You wouldn't necessarily want to get Joe over here because it would probably cost me a spot.
Yeah, well, look, mate, I'm sure you can both fit in the same forward line. He might play ruck or something. But, no, I've got a few close mates. Like, I've got Jonathan O'Rourke at Hawthorn and Lockie Plowman at Carlton. But none of my close mates are out of contract anytime soon. To maybe Tommy Sheridan for Fremantle might come over here. He's out of contract this year.
On
so
you, Tommy.
Get over here, Tommy.
It's a good time to be bailing out of there as well.
That's right.
Let's be honest. It's not the high time.
Sinking ship.
Hey, we've got it here on the podcast form. JJ, we wanted to talk a little bit about post-goal celebrations.
Yeah, probably didn't.
How do you come up with one? What do you choose for it? And do you get stick for them? Because, I mean, I always think the treaders in the phone call.
Probably didn't pick the best person when we had this topic because Rats only kicked about 8 goals.
Is that career or just in the AFL?
You said that career. To me last night, Josh, and I affirmed you that I'd kick 20 odds. So
he actually has me covered in the Coleman this year, which
exactly.
I'm
so pipe down over there. Now. Sit back down, Josh.
There are a few boys. I'm going to be brutally honest. I just do whatever I feel like
action.
At the time. Yeah. And get ridiculed for it a little bit, but depending on the goal and the time of the game is, I guess, how much you carry on. But there are a few guys. Rory, you love a goal celebration. Yep. Charlie Cameron has
the spoon,
many.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stir the spoon or whatever it's called. James Harden.
Cooking up or something. Yeah. Stir the pot.
Yeah, there's a few guys that certainly have some premeditation in their goals celebrations. I think Rory might be the person to talk to on this one.
Yeah, a lot of them due to us loving our American sports, they're very NBA, NFL inspired. So we just, like, I'm always on my phone scrolling through what all these superstars are doing. So there's just always stuff
going on.
You're
working on different handshakes?
Yeah,
like
whether it be Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, all these players. So, yeah, it's just we kind of envy these guys. And when it just comes over you, I mean, sometimes you look back at it and go, gee, I was a bit out of line there. But you just got to cope with that.
Didn't Charlie do the spoon just
he
because
did that.
He lay someone out?
He did that.
When he did the run? And then he turned.
Yeah,
who
I don't
was
know.
Chasing
I,
him?
I,
then he turned around and yeah, gave him a little bit of a.
He did that about 2 years ago. I'm unsure how you can run that quick and think about kicking a goal and then as soon as you see it going through, bloody whip the pot and pan out and start stirring it. So he obviously premeditated that. And yeah, I think
the great, was that the year the great Phil Walsh was the, I don't think Walshy was too happy
with
that.
He wasn't.
It wasn't his cup of tea, those sort of things. But
he bloody excites me though, Charlie Cameron. I have to say, as a fan, he's someone who gets you through the turnstiles because I remember the last few years, I've been saying I just love this guy. There's elements of Macca about him when he dashes off and he gets moving and he can stuff up the bounce, go back and get it and steal people that aren't near him. Have you guys seen him come on in a big way? And you must be excited to see him develop too.
Yeah, it's been great to just witness him just become, I guess it's a bit of a cliche thing to say, but becoming a man. He just now understands that he belongs on an AFL field. And I think last week when he did stuff up that bounce, he looked at his opponent, regathered the ball and said, I'm just going to go again because I know you can't catch me. And you have someone like that in your side, it gives you great confidence. And I think he's playing that way. So the more we can see that from Charles, the better off we're going to be.
So, boys, any specific celebrations we should watch out for tonight? Something exclusive here for the podcast.
Yes,
listeners.
We won't put the heat on Rat because he's the only one of us that's playing. We could ask him something give us something for the podcast.
Yeah, could take a request. You got anything?
Right. So we're trying to think of something that signifies the pods. Is there anything that we can maybe get you to wear a bald cap or something?
Yeah, pull out a swimming cap or something. Yeah.
No, but Eddie and Tex have got the high five, low five. It's very tough to catch. Sometimes the cameras don't quite see it. But those that are at the game tonight, 50,000 of us, I should hope or should expect. So Tex and Eddie, whenever Tex or Eddie kicks a goal, they go high five, low five.
All right, let's get to the top four. It's a staple of the podcast. What's your top four this week? But before you get there, of course, we have to have an opener.
JJ's top four.
Too much?
No. Because my effort from here on in is going to reflect how good the sting is. The amount of research.
You've pumped this up something chronic.
Come on, mate.
Oh, it's actually not the best one, this one. But we've, in the spirit of things, we've just gone with top four Easter eggs. Now, I would like some.
Wait, you what? You've gone with
top
what?
Top four Easter eggs.
My favourite Easter eggs.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I would like some input from you guys at the end, but fourth place, my fourth favourite Easter egg, and I do devour a few, my mini crunchy eggs. Just the little ones, you know, absolutely with the little crunchy flavour. Yeah. Nice, all right. Nice. You're on board already.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
No, because JJ, the crunchy bar itself, very good, but too much honeycomb, too much. If anything. I like a little bit of flaky crunchy, so with you on that one.
Exactly. So I've won you over already. Number three, now it takes me back to my childhood. I haven't had one for probably 15 years, but every Easter I used to get, we used to go camping on the river and I'd get the big Humpty Dumpty, and it'd be full of Smarties.
Yeah, quality.
That was one of my favorites.
You shake that around.
this is turning into a pretty good top four. Number two, very simple but very effective, is the White Dream moderate-sized bunny. The White Dream.
I'm off you.
White chocolate does divide people.
It's a no from me.
The white chocolate is divisive. Number one, even more simple but just cannot go past. They're about $12. They don't miss you, but you just buy the 1 kilo bag of the mini Cadbury's eggs.
That's a good office staple, that.
The thing I like about it is they make you work for your tucker, because you got to get all the foil and all that crap off them. So the boys often talk about how many they can get through, and there's been talk of 30s and 40s in one sitting. And from those, you wouldn't expect two guys who probably consume the most mini Cadbury's Easter eggs, Rory Sloane and Scott Thompson, he of the perfect rig.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of something for you. But if you'd like to throw up your favourite egg,
well,
don't be giving me Hagues. I know they're an icon of South Australia. Cadbury's or bust.
All right, well, I agree with you. Okay, in this, Cadbury's a good middle of the ranger. Then obviously your Hagues are for those with a developed
palate.
Red tulip means your mum and dad don't love you. One of the flattest of all the chocolates. Red tulip only gets a look in the Easter. You go, how come you deserve to be out in Easter, the prime chocolate time? Where were you for the rest of the year, red tulip? One of the worst candies.
I don't
ever.
Even know what a red tulip is.
Oh, it's the real cheap bunnies, with the silly little face.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Ah, right. Right.
Anyway,
what about you, Rory?
Might have to be a little lint bunny, I reckon. Don't mind that.
Little
lint bunny. You know, little bit of treat yourself, Josh, but not too over the top. Not a 40 sitting of eggs, mate.
you look like the kind of bloke you probably keep the nice little ribbon that goes around the neck of the lint bunny and the little bell.
Yeah, I know. I wear it out on Saturday nights. Yeah, that's right.
Now I'm very excited about this. To finish up, as always, the pot will give us an inspirational quote. Before we get to that, Rat, I need to ask you a quick question. How much do we win by? Who kicks first goal?
How much do we win by?
Not for gambling purposes, Amos, please.
No, zero gambling. We don't support that on these hours, but certainly as soon as I hang up here, I'm
going to okay, win by. I will say 21 points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
21 points.
And for the first goal, I will say, might go a bit left field here and say Sam Jacobs.
Oh.
And then JJ?
I think we'll win by about 3 goals. 18 points. And I would love, he's had an ordinary week through no fault of his own. I hope Eddie kicks the first goal, because they will tear the joint down if he does. Now, on to your quote, Rat.
Yep, the quote.
The bar has been set relatively low, so go for it.
I have heard that. And this one resonates with me a bit, considering I'm sitting here next to one of my close friends. It's about friendship, Josh. Mm-hmm. And it goes a little bit like this. It's friendship is like peeing on yourself. Everyone can see it, but only you experience the warm feeling that it gives. So
told you he was bringing the gags.
So just embracing your friends, that's what it's about, and cherishing your friendships, mate.
Like it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. Well,
appreciate that one.
I hope you wee on yourselves over the weekend. And
thank you.
Enjoy that beautiful golden stream of friendship. As for all the fans, get out to the game, support the team, and remember, when Eddie Betts kicks it, you don't need to say a lot about what happened over the past week, but you just clap for the man that we love, Eddie Betts, and the rest of the boys. Have a happy Easter, everybody.
See ya.
See ya.